Typically, you know, even when we share for offering, I'm not really so much concerned about sharing something financial, because if you think about it, sometimes people think that finances is just another one of those things that Jesus provided us. And truthfully, he didn't provide us finances. So to get up here and just talk about finances and how God has provided us finances would be silly, because what we have is what we see in Jesus, right? And so therefore, I'm going to teach you Jesus. Think about it. If I came up here and taught about finances, I wouldn't be teaching you anything that you have in Christ, because you don't have finances. God hasn't given you any physical thing or any corrupt thing. God has only given you what you see in Jesus. So if I want to teach you about what you have in Christ, I have to teach you about Jesus then. In other, because you're not going to know yourself or what you have in Christ by me teaching you about physical things or finances or anything else, because, again, you don't have finances. Everything that God gave you is only the things that you see in Jesus. You know, the Bible actually says this, and, you know, I may go here, I may not go here, so we'll have to see. But in the Bible, I was just sharing this with the teens, actually. In the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, is a really, really, really important verse. I use it a lot. I told the teens, it's not my favorite verse. I don't have a favorite verse, but I use it a lot, though, even in my own life, because it just says a lot. And it's a good summary about a lot of things the Lord's shown us at this church in 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, could you actually maybe just get that up? I'll keep talking, though. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, what it says is, it talks about Jesus, and it talks about the risen Jesus, okay? So everything I say about Jesus in the next few minutes, I'm talking about the risen Jesus. I'm not talking about Jesus in the days of his flesh. You know, when he was walking this earth in his earthly ministry, he did a lot of great things, but I'm not talking about that version of Jesus. And I'm certainly not talking about Jesus at the cross. What I'm talking about right now is Jesus in his resurrection, the way he is right now, okay? Because the way he is right now is the way that God always intended him to be and every human being to be, okay? The way that he is right now. That's God's will for Christ, and that's God's will for us. And those are the things that we've received, okay, in the risen Jesus. Sometimes we always look at Jesus in the flesh, in his earthly ministry, and we always want to compare ourselves to Jesus in his earthly ministry. But the Bible actually tells us not to do that. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible, and I'll show you one verse. But the Bible actually says to not compare ourselves and not relate to what we see in Jesus' earthly ministry, but we actually relate to what we see in the glorified Jesus, with all of the Spirit of God manifest through Jesus. God wants us to relate with that. Okay, so I'll just read this to you. It just says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now watch this. When it says the word glass there, it's talking about a mirror. New King James says mirror. Okay, so I'll just say mirror. But it says, so we all, with open face, let's just skip that part just for right now, because that's talking about something he mentioned earlier in the chapter. So let's just skip that. We all are what? We are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, that's what he's telling us to do. We all, he's talking about Christians, every Christian, this is what every Christian should do, has to do, okay? This is the only thing God wants a Christian to do. We need to behold the Lord. Specifically, what did he say? The glory of the Lord, the glory of Jesus. So that's talking about Jesus in his risen state, okay? He wasn't in glory in the days of his flesh, okay? That's talking about his risen state. So it's talking about Jesus right now. But let's just say this. We need to see Jesus the way he is in every good thing that God has given Jesus in his resurrection. And it says we need to look at that as our mirror. This is glass, but we need to look at that as our mirror, right? That's what it said. We all of us. So this is not for some Christians. This is not for some Christians that have achieved something, because no Christian has achieved anything. Right? We only have what God gave us through Christ. We have nothing more than that. So we all of us, every single one of us that have received Jesus. Now, if you haven't received Jesus yet, this isn't applicable to you. You're going to have to maybe ask Pastor Jose after service or something, and that can get taken care of. But this is not applicable to you. This is only applicable to those who know Jesus for themselves. Not because your parents are saved, not because you were baptized with water, not because you went to church when you were little, not because you were an altar boy, none of that. Only if you've received Jesus for yourself. Water doesn't save people, ashes don't save people, altar boy stuff doesn't save people, a priest can't save you, Jesus can save you. And so if you've know Jesus for yourself, this is applicable to you, and only if that. We all is not talking about the whole world. It's talking about only believers. Okay, we're not better than the world, but we have it better, a lot better than the world does, okay? We, all of us, All of us have to behold. We have to look as in a mirror, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What that's saying is, this is where your mind should be. We need to perceive the risen Jesus and every good thing about Jesus. And we need to perceive him, he says, as a glass or as in a mirror. What that means is, there's a lot of verses I just went over on Friday with the teens. But in James 1, he says a real, real deep, something real, real deep in James 1. I don't know the exact verse, but he talks about a mirror. And James 1 defines what a mirror is. It says it's something you look at to view yourself. Okay? Now, the reason why I'm saying that, because we have to define words the way the Bible defines words. And the Bible says that a mirror is something you look at to view yourself. Now, I already knew that, but this is what the Bible says, though. You look at a mirror to see yourself. You look at a mirror to know what kind of person you are. This is what James 1 says. Why you look in a mirror? You look in a mirror to see what kind of person you are. You don't look at a mirror just to see the mirror. You look at a mirror to see who you are. You look in a mirror to see what you look like. You look in a mirror to see what you have. You look in a mirror to see what is true for you. And it said that we are beholding Jesus as a mirror. What does that mean? Well, what does mirror mean? If a mirror is something you look at to view yourself, just stay with me with this. If a mirror is something you look at, not to look at a mirror, you look at a mirror not to look at how nice the mirror is, you look at a mirror to see yourself. It's saying to look at Jesus to see yourself. That's what a mirror is. Now, I'm not making up that definition of mirror, just so you know. I'm not saying that just because that's what we use mirrors for, like when we got ready for church this morning. I'm saying that because the Bible says that that's what a mirror is defined as. So if God defines a glass or a mirror as something you look at to see yourself, what he's saying is here that we have to look at Jesus and relate to that and look at Jesus not just to see Jesus. We have to look at Jesus so that we can know what we have. We look at Jesus to know what we've been given through the cross. We need to look at Jesus to know what kind of person we've become through the cross of Jesus. When you receive Jesus, when you first received the cross, when you first got to know him, God made you like Jesus. So that doesn't change. You're not ever going to get more like Jesus. You'll never be more like Jesus than you are right now. You'll never get more of his attributes. God will never give you another thing for the rest of your life and for all eternity. You'll never have another thing from God. And you may be like, well, that doesn't sound so good. I'm going through all this mess right now, and you're saying God's never going to give me anything else? That's because you don't know what you have, because you're measuring what you have by what you see. But if you knew how full you were, you'd be okay with the fact that God will never give you another thing. Because it's not that we need something else. We are already like Jesus. But what the problem is, though, our problem as Christians is not that we're not already like Jesus. We are like Jesus already. When you came through the cross of Jesus, Jesus paid a price at the cross and became everything that you weren't supposed to be. He pulled that off of you at the cross. He became that for you at the cross, so you wouldn't have to be that anymore. And he made you, when you received him, just like him. So you are as much like Jesus as Jesus is right now. That's what we have. But what God wants us to do is God wants us to understand that, though. The problem with Christians is not that we're not like Jesus. The problem with Christians is that we don't understand that we're like Jesus. We don't understand that that's what God was providing for us through the cross, was to make you one with the glory of Jesus. Now watch this. You say, well, how can I be like Jesus if I have all these problems? How can I be like Jesus if I'm going through this? How can I be like Jesus if I'm going through that? Well, watch this. What this says is, it says, if we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that means once you start relating with what you have in Christ, once you start believing and beholding who you are in Christ, once you start believing that, and you're not swayed by other things, you start believing that through the cross of Jesus, that God has made you like Christ now. Once you start walking that way, this cannot be something you hear at church, but everywhere else you go, you relate with the problems that you have, you talk about them like, you know, Jesus didn't do anything about it. This has to be a mentality that you walk in. Okay? It has to become something that you get to a point in your life where you actually know and are confident and you walk in this and you talk like that because you understand it, then I'm like Jesus now. And you could be experiencing something in your body, you could be experiencing something in your mind, but you don't relate to that anymore because it's not me, I'm who Jesus is. You say, well, how can that be? Because God put it inside of you first, okay? First and foremost, God put it inside of you. That's how God can say you're like Jesus and yet you not see anything on the outside yet. But this verse, watch this. What this verse tells us how to do, though, is how to get all of our like Christness that's inside of us, to get that manifest into our body so that we can experience and walk in our like Christness. Okay? People think that Christians are getting more and more like Jesus every day. And that's not the case. We're like Jesus, but watch what this verse says. When you behold as in a glass or as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that means once you start relating to Jesus, you don't see Jesus anymore as just Jesus. You look at Jesus to view yourself, right? That's how we should, as in a glass. You look at him, you know him so that you can understand yourself. You'll never understand yourself and who you are until you know who he is in his risen state, because that's what God has given you. But when you do that, what happens? There is an outward effect that happens in your body, in your mind, in your life when you start getting firm on this. Not just because you heard it at church. When you, in your own mind, because when you're hearing here, you can nod to a lot of things because it sounds good. But that's in my mind. That's in Pastor Jose's mind. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's in your mind, in your physical mind at least. God wants you to hear these things, but he wants you to meditate on them until it becomes firm to you. If you want to become firm on any truth, you meditate on it. You use it all the time. So you start using it, and you will find yourself maturing in it, okay? You meditate on it. You mature in it. But look it. So when we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and this will be my last point, it says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now that word change is not a really good word. New King James actually has it better than that. New King James has transformed. Because the word actually means to change your form, your appearance. So this will be my last point. When and only when a Christian starts understanding that they are like Jesus and they are not like the world and they are not like the problems that they see manifest. No, they start agreeing with God that I'm already free from the flesh. I'm not this flesh. That's what circumcision is in the Bible, free from the flesh. But I have the full likeness of Jesus in me and I will believe it, and that is who I am now. And thank you. Thanks to the cross of Christ, he became everything that I was, and now I am everything that he is, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to meditate on it. And I'm not going to meditate on this. I'm going to meditate on who I am in Christ. I'm going to meditate on what I have in him. And I'm not just going to sing songs about how great Jesus is. I'm going to sing songs about how great Jesus is so that I can view myself. Use him like a mirror. God wants you to do that. Jesus isn't just sitting in glory, and we don't just speak about Jesus in his glory just for the sake of Jesus. God wants you to use him like a mirror. Look at him to find out yourself. Don't look at a person to find out who you are. Don't look at a person and compare yourself to them and say, well, I have everything that so-and-so has. Don't do that. Look at Jesus and say, I have everything he has. I don't need to look at you and say, I have everything so-and-so has. I look at Jesus and say, I have everything he has. When you do that, that word change means your appearance, your outward form. It says that will be, when it says changes, it means a change of appearance, that word change. A change of the form. That's a transform is kind of better. Changed form. When you are confident, not before you see it outwardly, before you see anything outwardly, you believe it first. You don't believe it because you saw something fruit. You believe it because the word of God. When you believe it, and when that is good enough for you, the word of God's good enough for you to know that I'm like Jesus now. And God tells me in his word, because of the cross, he became my old man so that I could be like him. When you believe that, when there's no fruit, when there's nothing seen in your life, you don't see fruit first and then it encourages you to believe Jesus. That's not how it works. Fruit comes from faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus doesn't come from fruit, right? Our faith shouldn't be encouraged because we see fruit. The fruit is encouraged when we believe Jesus, just based off the word. You don't got to see a darn bit of anything in your life to know who you are in Christ. The word tells you all about it, tells you what Jesus did for you. When you believe that, when you start looking at Jesus like a mirror, you will see your form, your body, your mind be changed into that same image from glory to glory. That's how it works. And glory to glory means it happens progressively. Why does it happen progressively? Because you're learning progressively. If you learned all at one time, it would happen all at one time. But we cannot say, I'm firm on this, and yet, like I said, sometimes we talk, even the ways that we talk and the way that we act, we don't talk like we're like Jesus. We talk like we want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus as a Christian, that will not happen. You won't be changed. If in your mind you aspire to be like Jesus, if you look at him like your example to aspire to be him, that change, that outward appearance being changed, that transformation in your body, in your mind, in your life, it won't happen in your life. Why? Didn't say aspire to be like Jesus and the Holy Spirit will change your outward appearance, change your body, change your mind, transform you, change your form. It said once you start viewing Jesus to view yourself, once you start relating with who Christ is, the Bible says he's not ashamed to be called our brethren. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We have what he has. He has what we have. We have the same things as the Father. Once you start relating with those things and you stop, you start relating with Jesus so much, you actually stop relating with things that are in your own body, in your own mind, in your own life. Because you look at it and you say, that's not me anymore. I have the fullness of Christ in me now. Once that becomes real to you in your mind, the Holy Spirit brings out from glory to glory and changes your outward form into what you have on the inside. But you don't relate to it afterwards. You relate to it when you see no fruit, just based off the word. Most Christians want fruit before they're going to believe something. And that's just being carnal. You're not being truthful, you're just being carnal. You can believe this, you have the Holy Spirit to believe it. You can believe the Christ likeness that you have now when there's no fruit. Because the fruit doesn't make something true. The fruit is really actually just the revealing of what you already have. So you believe it based off the word and the word only. And you can be confident about it. It's not that you can't. You can be confident. You can walk and be confident about it no matter what problem you're going through. You can start saying, I have the fullness of Christ inside of me. I am like Jesus now. And gee, I'm going to start finding out who you are so that I can start finding out what I've become through you. The cross made us just like Jesus. The Bible says our old man was crucified with Christ, and now we've been made like him according to this verse. So once you start doing that, that's how fruit comes. That's why that verse is a really, really cool verse. It gives you like the formula. If you like formulas, that's a good formula. Practice that formula. It's not like it doesn't work sometimes. It can't not work. The Bible says the scripture cannot be broken in John 10. That will work. You will see change in your outward form. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever change you need. Now, your learning is going to be in a progression. So you're going to see things in a progression in your life. But you will see change. You will see change. You will find your outward appearance looking like Jesus. Just based off you understanding that you're already like Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings that out and changes your outward form, whatever it is, okay? But like I said, that verse, though, is the way that it happens. In that order. You believe that first, and then there's fruit. The fruit doesn't come so that you can believe it, okay? All right, so you know what? Let's just pray. Let's just pray, and then we'll give. So, Father, we just come to you right now. We just thank you so much, Father. I thank you so much, Father, for your peace and that passes all understanding, Lord. I thank you so much, Father, for your joy unspeakable. I thank you, Father, all these things. When we think that these things are things that we want, Lord, then we're not following the guidelines. We're not following the set course, Lord, that you just laid out in that verse. It's not that we want things, Lord, but wanting something doesn't make it manifest in our lives. Wanting something, Lord, doesn't make it manifest. Lord, there's a lot of people that want things, Lord. There's a lot of people that ask God for things. And that doesn't make us receivers from God just because we ask, just because we want. Lord, your word says actually that you produce more than we could ever ask or think. So we're not receiving in accordance with our asking or our thinking. We're receiving in accordance with that verse we just read, Lord. So, Father, I pray that we would drop all our formulas and all our ways of doing things and trying to get around things, Lord. And, Father, I pray that we would say, you know what, Father? If your word says that I will be changed, my body will be changed, my body will experience your life, my mind will experience your peace, my mind will experience your joy, my life will experience your fullness, your power will manifest into my life if I follow your way, not my way, and if I start looking at Jesus and relating with him, there's nothing that you need to do in your actions that's going to make God do anything through you. You don't need to change a thing in your actions. God's talking about a renewal of your mind. It's your mind that goes wrong. Your actions are just manifest things that change. God can change that. Jesus fixed that. God wants to change the way that you think. So, Father, I pray that we would change the way that we think. Father, I pray that we would look at Jesus and say, I'm going to start relating with who Jesus is because that is who I am now. Father, I pray that we would find out who he is. Father, I pray that we'd find out how death has no more dominion over him. Father, I pray that we would find out, Lord, the things that are manifest in him, Lord, by your Spirit. The love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and every good thing that's in him. Father, I pray that we'd understand all the goodness of Jesus is inside of us. And Father, when we relate to that, Lord, not when we want to be like Jesus, when we understand that every good thing God's given me already, and I'm going to think in accordance with someone who has every good and every perfect thing already in them, and I'm going to start thinking like that. I'm going to walk in my life thinking that way and relating to those things. And when we relate to all that we have in Christ, when we start relating to it, not relating to people, not relating to somebody, not relating to an apostle in the Bible, not relating to another person, not relating to circumstance, but relating to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are who I am. And we start learning that. Father, I thank you that we are changed in our appearance, Lord. And you manifest all the power we already have. You manifest that into our life. And we can experience and walk in the fullness of God in our life, Father. Thank you with a body that's well and with hearts that are well. And I thank you so much, Father, for lives that are full in you. Thank you so much, Lord, with the power of God in us influencing the world and not the earth influencing us. That is something that we can't just want, Lord. We have to know we already have it. As long as we are aspiring to these things, it shows us, Lord, it shows you, Lord, that we don't know yet that we have it. When we want it so bad, it shows we don't know it. So, Father, I pray that we go from wanting these things to saying, I have these things. And forget about the fruit. The Holy Spirit will do that all by himself. You don't get fruit by worrying about the fruit. You let the Holy Spirit worry about the fruit. You go to doing what it's going to allow the fruit. You go to doing that. Go from aspiring to be like Jesus to understanding you're like Jesus right now. Walk like that. Talk like that. Think like that. And I thank you, Father, when we change the way that we think, I thank you, Father, you manifest yourself through us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray all these things and we give toward your gospel. We thank you for all that. Amen.